the Ortho PAC, hosted by Sam Dyer. Welcome to the Ortho PAC, where we discuss up-to-date orthopedic topics for the busy clinician. I invite you to sit back and relax as I attempt to fill in the gaps between education, current events, and real-world practice. Welcome today, Dr. Randon Hall. Dr. Hall is a primary care sports medicine physician who practices in pediatric orthopedics. He's going to discuss pediatric overuse injuries in sports medicine. Welcome, Dr. Hall.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, Dr. Hall recently gave a couple of presentations at our Phoenix meeting, and this podcast is based on one of those talks. One of the things you started with was, I don't know, not really, kind of. This is your kid's response. Could you please shed a little light on that? I thought that was humorous and also very true.
Yeah. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and so I'm used to those answers for very specific questions. But I think it gets to the bigger picture of being very precise about your history and your exam. And so if you allow answers like kind of, not really, I guess, I think it really just limits you. It limits your skill to be able to make the correct diagnosis. And so I give kids options. So I say, yes, I know that's what you want to say, but if you could tell me yes, no, or a little bit, then I can be more certain. Because as we all know, there's sometimes where there's like six spots where the patient hurts. But we need to narrow that down to be able to give them a precise diagnosis. And I think that kind of technique psychologically can be helpful. It also helps the parents. You know, they can see that the patient's not even really sure where they hurt, or, we do have it narrowed down to one specific spot. I think it can be helpful in both of those situations.
So do you ever make the parents get out and just say, look, you know, you're in the way, you need to go? And then I also was hoping, before we jump in with the diagnoses, if you could talk about your algorithm for how you approach a patient who has what you suspect is an overuse injury.
Yeah, so I don't usually make the parent step out. I can't think of a situation where I've done that. I think that they can be a real asset. I think how I manage that is when I first go in the room, when I introduce myself, my eye contact and all of my communication is directly with the patient. Doesn't matter if the patient is 2 or 20, that's how I do it. And I think that sets the tone that I'm depending on you, pediatric patient, to provide me the information that I need. And I think the family feels that when I come into the room. So I think that's a strategy that people can use, because it kind of sets the tone like, hey, I want the kid to talk, try not to jump. And now, you know, people do it anyway, but I think it at least gives a hint that that's who I'm wanting to answer the questions. And then I think as far as an approach for what I suspect is an overuse is, I do a lot of information gathering. So I think someone saying, hey, I play baseball and my arm hurts, you know, that's not super useful. But getting a lot of background information about, have you always played baseball? Is this your first season in baseball? What positions you play? So really digging down before I ever touch the patient, before I ever look at any x-rays, any MRIs, I'm really trying to understand what is the circumstances by which the patient has arrived to me today. And I think a lot of times when you are diligent about that, it ends up kind of presenting itself. Because a good example is, you know, if you have a patient who presents with overuse, but you aren't able to find overuse in the history, then you kind of have to start thinking down a different pathway. And so the first step is really significant information gathering, understanding the mechanism of the injury as well as we can. Then I move on to my exam. And, you know, this may be not everybody's strategy, but I generally do not look at any imaging prior to evaluating the patient. Even if I know they have an x-ray or an MRI, I think it does play a little bit of a bias role, and it can cause me to kind of anchor on to whatever the report may say. And so I tell the families, yep, I know you have imaging, but I want to hear what you guys have to say first. And it's a beautiful thing when I say a diagnosis or go through a differential, and then we can go back and look at the x-ray and say, yep, that confirms what we were already thinking. So that's kind of my approach as far as history, physical imaging type.
All right. So this is listed on one of the slides that Dr. Hall recorded for us, and that will be available for members to look up. So Dr. Hall, why don't we jump in and start with some diagnoses? Posterior tibialis tendonitis. Who would be a typical patient that gets this? And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the exam and treatments and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I generally will see this in runners and barefoot sport athletes. So gymnasts, taekwondo, and runners is primarily where I'll see this. And I think you could even say this is very similar for the peroneal brevis tendonitis as well. And what I try to do is really elicit where that pain is coming from and have the family visualize that. So I use, and this can be kind of extrapolated for the rest of the discussion, but I just use a numbering technique. So I ask the patients, does it hurt at spot one? Does it hurt at spot two, three, like that, instead of does it hurt here or does it hurt there? Because they don't know how to tell you yes or no, or they'll tell you multiple areas. So you want to be able to go back and say, okay, which was more painful, spot one or spot two? Then when you can get that narrowed down to a specific spot, so in this case, the posterior tibialis tendon, what I like to do is just have the foot inverted against resistance. And if they're thin enough, you can kind of see that posterior tibialis tendon pop out, and I just trace along it with my thumb, remembering you're intending to try to create some pain. So soft pressure is not useful here. You want a good firm pressure with the tip of my thumb. And I want the parent to see that it hurts over that spot. And the patient, I want to see it on their eyes and their face. Yes, that's the spot. So palpation is usually the most helpful here with the background history of runner or barefoot sport. And then I will have them try a single leg toe raise to see if I can elicit pain as well. So if I can combine all of those things together, that's usually quite helpful for me. If the patient is tender over that posterior tibialis tendon and really not tender where it's a distal attachment, I don't necessarily need x-rays in that scenario if everything else adds up. But I do consider getting x-rays when there's concern for tenderness over the actual distal insertion site, because an os navicularis is quite common and can be a diagnosis that is not missed per se, but underdiagnosed. And so I will try to evaluate that a little bit if there's bony tenderness.
And I know you mentioned that you use a lot of DME, but not so much orthotics. And I was hoping you might explain why that is the case.
Well, I think it's just a matter of logistics. So, you know, you get a 12-year-old whose foot is growing, you order them custom orthotics, and 3 months later, they're really not custom anymore. And so, you know, I try to be thoughtful about family's time, try to be thoughtful about their money. And I think that the main factor is just, practically speaking, a custom orthotic doesn't stay custom for very long in this patient population. I also think we want to teach kids and families to think about functional fixes for problems rather than these static fixes, because the functional fixes are things that they have under their control. And instead of having them rely on a static orthotic, it can be helpful, but I think being proactive about how they can treat themselves rather than depend on an orthotic is kind of the mindset that I want to grow in these young athletes.
I see that you use a lot of DME. I use a lot of DME, and my medical assistant hates it. She always tells me about it. But I use boots and braces and things. So you had mentioned peroneus brevis tendonitis. How do you manage that? I've used like an ASO brace or taping or PT. I'm just curious how you manage it, and when do you consider MRI if you think there might be a tear?
Yeah, I think very similar to you. I always consider what the patient has going on from a social standpoint. So if we have a situation where it's mild tendonitis, but the patient has a lot of walking at school. So I think we forget about that sometimes, that they may walk to school, or they may have a lot of walking around school that just is not considered exercise, but it is stress to the tendon. So in those situations, I may be a little bit more aggressive with providing a boot for them just to get them up and around a little bit easier. I really don't want them to be on crutches or a knee scooter in this situation that could significantly decrease the calf strength and mobility. So usually I will either do an ASO, as you mentioned, or a boot if it's quite significant, and then early PT as well. And then just modifying activity. I think shoe wear is important to consider. So if you have an athlete that's that barefoot athlete, considering some type of arch support, this kind of, I think this is called an X brace. It's similar to like a arch support, but it straps onto the foot, is an option. And the tight shoes as well can be something that we can try to help with, soccer cleats if that's the case. So those are the main things that I'll do. I don't usually shut somebody down completely if they say, you know, it's annoying, but I can still play. And I just be very realistic with them to say, hey, if you continue to play, I don't think you're going to do damage to your foot, but I do think it's going to take a lot longer to get better. And if they're okay with that situation, then I say, okay, let's proceed. And if they're not okay, or if they have time where they can take a break, you know, this is a classic, like a gymnast, they never want to take a break. So I just kind of give them a realistic approach. And many times they're like, nope, I just needed to know what it was. I think I can push through it, and I'm okay with that.
Sounds like a great plan. Listeners, stay tuned for next week when we continue our discussion of overuse injuries in pediatrics with Dr. Randon Hall. We also welcome you to visit our website, paos.org, where members can download virtual conference content and get Category 1 CME. Also, if you're a non-member, please visit the aapa.org Learning Central for the PAOS virtual content.